Good. Good evening, everyone. Testing 1, 2. 1, 2. We're going to get started now. If you can stand with me, stand. We're going to open with prayer. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight thanking you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity you've given to us to come out and study your word tonight, dear Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for the word as Minister Wright bring the word tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just pray that we would have an open heart and mind to receive your word tonight, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for each and every one that is present here tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would just continue watching over them and blessing them, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for these family members tonight, dear Heavenly Father. You know their needs also, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that whatever their needs are, dear Heavenly Father, you would just grant it to them tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the ones that are not here, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would be with those families, dear Heavenly Father. You know their needs also. And we pray for the sick and shut in tonight, dear Heavenly Father. The ones in the hospital, dear Heavenly Father. The ones that are in rehab tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would just be with them and touch their bodies tonight, dear Heavenly Father. And just give them peace at this time tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the bereaved families, dear Heavenly Father. The ones that lost loved ones, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would just comfort them and let them know, dear Heavenly Father, that you are in charge and all power is in your hand. You're too wise to make a mistake. And we just pray for this church tonight, dear Heavenly Father, called Glendale Baptist. We just ask that you will just watch over the leaders and continue directing their path. We thank you for your love and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for all your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening. As the Black Eyed Peas would say, let's get it started. Anybody know the Black Eyed Peas? Amen. Will I Am and who was that, Fergie? Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. But good to see you tonight. Tonight, again, we're still in Hebrews, and turn with me. If you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm going to read just one verse tonight. I wanted to read all the way to the end of the chapter. I thought I was leaving some stuff on the table, so I'm going to stick with verse 10 tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 reads as follows. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. I don't know if you've been following current events or looking at the news lately, but Marcellus Williams, Missouri death row inmate, was executed yesterday. He was executed for murder. He'd maintained his innocence for nearly 24 years. He had fought for appeals and had people working on his behalf, attorneys, his family working on his behalf. When finally the state Supreme Court unanimously decided not to halt his execution. Now, some would say because of his crime, the crime of murder, it was fitting that he die. Many would say of terrorists and mass murderers that it was fitting that they die. But for me, I thought about Miss Arlene, who lived on my street, good Christian woman, an old woman. She died in her sleep. And I remember that as a child, I couldn't figure that out. How? Because when I went to sleep, I woke up at 6 years old. And Miss Arlene, a good Christian woman, we would be shocked if someone said it was fitting for her to die. Why would anyone would say that about Miss Arlene? A good Christian woman, she helped a lot of people. It was fitting for her to die. Well, that's what the author of Hebrews says about the death of Jesus. He says that it was fitting for God to put his son to death. The Jewish Christian readers perhaps were taken aback. They were struggling with the shame of the cross. They believed in Jesus, but were tempted by unbelievers who said that if Jesus was the Messiah, he wouldn't have died. They believed that their Messiah would conquer their enemies and not die as a criminal on a shameful Roman cross. Well, in our study today, the author of Hebrews is showing why Jesus' death did not disqualify him as being the Messiah and the Savior. In the previous weeks, the author of Hebrews was encouraging the Christian Jews not to allow doubt to creep into their hearts and go back to Judaism. He was showing them that Jesus is better than the prophets. That Jesus is better than Moses. In fact, throughout the whole book of Hebrews, that's what we see. Jesus is better than Joshua. Jesus is better than Aaron. He's a better hope. He's a better covenant. He's a better promise. He's a blood testimony. He's a better resurrection. When they had regarded the prophets and angels better than Jesus, the writer of Hebrews sets them straight. He also informed them that, believe it or not, that Jesus is God. Oh, they struggle with that right there. The author of Hebrews showed them from the scripture, and we saw this a few weeks ago, that he's the creator. That he's the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the radiance of God. That he is the expressed image of his person. He is the very substance of God. We also saw that he upholds all things by the power of his word. Jesus is sovereign. He didn't just become the son when he was born of a virgin. He's always been the son who has always been present. He's always existed. And the writer of Hebrews also shows us that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And again, he is God. And again, Christ he's better than the angels. Although angels are impressive and can do some mighty things, they aren't better than Jesus. And the author also admonished them not to drift away. He told them not to drift away from the truth, from the supremacy of Jesus Christ, to false doctrines and false beliefs. He also warned them not to neglect so great a salvation that comes from Jesus himself and not the angels. Again, the author of Hebrews here in our lesson today, he's showing why Jesus' death did not disqualify him as Messiah and Savior. Now, it did not mean that he was inferior to angels who do not die. They're looking at Jesus as a mere man. Well, he's just a mere man. He died. They say, well, you know, how come, you know, hey, he died. Angels don't die. Again, they're lifting angels and other things above Jesus. In fact, it was a part of God's eternal plan, not only to glorify Jesus, but to bring many sons and daughters to glory. So here it is the author's intention to remove the shame from the cross so his readers can boldly proclaim it as the power and the wisdom of God. I got Bible on that right there. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I got Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24 says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. They needed to know this. Again, he was trying to remove the shame of the cross so they can proclaim this powerful word from Jesus as power and wisdom. The Savior condescended to planet Earth to become a suffering and humiliating death on the cross. That's what he received. He suffered and he was humiliated on the cross. And as we read last week in Hebrews chapter, same chapter, one verse back, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He came that he might taste death for the elect of God. Not everybody. He made a perfect substitution for God's people. Contrary to some, Jesus didn't die for everybody. He came for the elect of God. He came for you and me. Even when we didn't acknowledge him, he acknowledged us. He came to die for us, die for our sins, and to live for our righteousness. But what was it that caused the Son to submit to such humiliation in becoming a man and dying for sinners? What was it? Here it is. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God that sent the Son to the cross to die for sinners. The death of Jesus was fitting because God was glorified in it, and in it was in line with God's eternal plan. Now, God could have engineered a way to save us that did not require the suffering of the Son of God. And there have been times when I thought about that. He could have done a lot of things, but sometimes, mostly when I was a younger Christian, I would just say, man, what's this all about? You know, he could have fixed this a long time ago, you know, just in my finite thinking. But the scripture says that it was fitting, or here it is, more than necessary for Jesus to save us at the cross, at the cost of his own agony. It was more than necessary. Here it is. This is the ultimate illustration of the fact that real love and real giving involves sacrifice. God's love for us had to show itself in sacrifice. And God could not sacrifice unless he joined deity to humanity and suffered on our behalf. I think Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us that if there is no shedding of blood, then there is no forgiveness. So there had to be some bloodshed. There had to be a sacrifice. And Jesus became the last and final sacrifice for his children. And again, the writer of Hebrews could have referred to God as God. But he says here in the verse, he says, for whom are all things and by whom are all things? When I see these words here, I can't help but to think about Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, which proclaims Christ. And it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Again, this lets us know that Jesus is an agent in creation. He didn't have to be born. He didn't have to speak himself into existence. You didn't have to go looking for him. He was already here. He's God. And I think here what, I think, this verse teaches us that God, he actively governs his creation. God is not aloof in the cosmos. He's not a deist that he just winds up the hands of time. And he goes off and does something else. And say, well, y'all, you be at it by yourself. Y'all can handle this now. I don't think so. You and I both know that's not true. You and I know that God watches over us every day. His eyes are always on us. You know that his ears are always open to our prayers. Man, the slightest whimper from us, God is right there. In fact, before we call, come on, somebody, he answers us. Man, there are things that I was just thinking about. I was just thinking about it, and God heard that, and he blessed me with. Is that anybody tonight that you were just thinking about? You ain't even asked God. All of a sudden, it showed up. Oh, maybe that's just me tonight. Amen. I remember years ago as a PE teacher in my other life, I like to say, I remember when I would give the fourth graders free time, and I remember all the kids, they would do their own thing, but it was just one girl. She would always get a book, and she would read by herself. And I never uttered this prayer to God. But my heart's prayer was that my own daughter, who wasn't even born at that time, that my own daughter would be a reader. Because I know how important reading is. And I'm telling you, when that little girl was born, she was looking for books. She just wanted books. I mean, my nieces and nephews, we drive by McDonald's. They say, McDonald's French fries. I drove by McDonald's with my baby. She didn't care. But when she saw Barnes and Noble, we got to stop. Daddy, get me to the library. I mean, we took her to the library. She jumped out that car and ran inside. Looking for books. I'm sitting at home watching a football game, and she'll come out of nowhere. I mean, she couldn't even talk. She come out of nowhere with a book, shaking in front of my face, saying, read me a book. I mean, those little spongy books, cotton books that she can chew on because she was almost a baby. And here I am, I'm intense watching the University of Miami Hurricanes, and here she come with a book. I never prayed that prayer, but God heard my heart, and he made her a reader, and I watched how that helped her all the way through school. And the other parents were coming to me all through elementary. Man, my child is trying to beat your daughter. Your daughter, she has the best grades, and she this, because she was a reader. And God heard my heart. And I know tonight that God has heard our prayers before we even uttered it. Come on, y'all. We ain't got no children in here. We got some seasoned saints up in here. Yeah, we got some gray hair up in here. Amen. Some gray hair and some no hair. All right now. Yeah, we done seen some stuff. We done seen how God has watched over our babies. And some of them ain't even saved. And God watched over our babies because he heard the prayer of his children. And God honors that prayer. Keep praying. God hears us. Amen. Again, this is talking about the writer of Hebrews. Where he referred to God as God when instead he says here in verse 10, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. And he shows us how God actively governs his creation. And that the suffering of Jesus did not take place by accident. This is all a part of God's eternal plan. The cross did not thwart God's plan. It fulfilled it. And he also says here in this verse that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. The word captain, it means leader or pioneer. And so what happens here is that Jesus, he blazed the trail of salvation for us. As the captain, he didn't hang in the rear of the battle. He didn't say, y'all going out there and fight. I got y'all back. He wasn't just giving orders to the troops on the front line. Instead, he led the troops out in the front. And he gave us an example to follow. And I love, again, we read last week, he said, don't neglect such a great salvation. Man, this thing is great. It is not just something that we receive. We were actually rescued. Amen. Some of us smelling like smoke. Rescue from the fires of hell. a brand from the fire. He has saved us. Like Joshua leading Israel into the promised land, Jesus goes before his people and he leads us to salvation. Hallelujah to God. He has won the victory and given us the blessing. He has defeated Satan on the cross and we have the victory. He has crushed us. He has crushed Satan's head. It is he who absorbed the wrath of God in his body on the cross. And what was left for you and me is eternal life and unconditional love. Oh, man, that'll make you move tonight. That'll make you get up and move tonight, man. That'll make you do a little shaking. Amen. Maybe that's just me. That's just me. I marvel how people run around and when they hear about getting a physical blessing, man. But every time I hear anything about Jesus and salvation, man, I get excited about that because I understand that it is a great salvation, so great a salvation that our Savior actually was brutalized on the cross. But to be qualified as the captain or the leader of our salvation, he had to experience suffering that humans go through as a result of the fall. Jesus was made perfect through suffering, as verse 10 says, still in verse 10, that's our verse tonight. He was made perfect through suffering. What does that mean? Wasn't Jesus already perfect? Yes, he is perfect in his divine attributes, and he is perfect in his moral obedience. But to be our perfect substitute, he had to be without sin, and he had to experience life as a human in this fallen world as it relates to pain and sorrow. So to be our perfect sympathetic high priest, he had to be tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. That's my Savior. Yeah, he became sin. That's my Savior. Amen. He defeated sin. Our sins are nailed to the cross. Many as they be, they are nailed to the cross. Hallelujah to God. As far as the east is from the west, so far are our sins from us. Our sins have been cast into the sea, never to be remembered again. It was fitting for the Father to do this in the sense that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, according to Isaiah, for the sake of bringing many sons to glory. I love that right there. The scripture says here in verse 10 that he brought many sons to glory, but it's also saying daughters as well, not just males, but females too. It's all of God's children. For the sake of bringing many sons and daughters to glory. The divine purpose of God sending his son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, was that many sons would be brought into glory. In fact, God's eternal plan was to bring many sons and daughters into his presence. God had one son, but he desired to have many sons and daughters. And this could only be accomplished through the death of Christ. Jesus sacrificed for his sons and his daughters. And I really believe that Romans chapter 5 captures this wonderfully. Romans 5 verses 7 and 8. In fact, I believe that Reverend Pastor Sherrard hit on this on Sunday. Romans 5 verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, even if a person is very good, most people was not willing to die for them. I mean, they're like, yeah, hey, man, that's cool, man, but I ain't finna die for you, bro. Like no one walks around practicing that kind of stuff. But there is a possibility if they are exceptionally good. And we've seen it here and there. Perhaps, let's say if somebody had the cure for cancer. And they say, look here, man, you're going to have to die so I can live and help all these people out. There's somebody we wouldn't do that. I think so. Maybe you would call somebody like that exceptionally good. Somebody, I don't know, you just think they're a good person, they help a lot of people. Maybe you'll get somebody to do that. But I think Paul's point here in the verse is that we're neither. Yet Christ sacrificed himself for us. The highest expression of human love is when someone gives their life that another person can continue to live. I think people understand sacrificial love, even though it's rarely practiced. I mean, this kind of love is almost always dependent upon a relationship that already exists. Spouse, relative, friend. But not always. Because on February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2018, Nicholas Cruz took a ride share to, I believe it was Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, with a high-powered rifle, and he killed multiple people. But there was one man in that high school who went by the name of Coach Aaron Feist. He jumped in the path of those bullets, and he took multiple bullets so that many kids could live, could continue to live. So this kind of sacrifice does exist. And really, there are other examples of this. And I've heard it lately with the school shooting in Georgia and in other places where teachers jumped in front of their kids and they took a bullet so that their children, their students, could continue to live. You do find it some places, but can I tell you today that it pales in comparison to what our Lord did on our behalf. For Romans 5 and 8 says, and I just read it, God demonstrates his own love towards us while we were still sinners or enemies. He died for us. Not friends, not family, but we were God's enemies, hated God. And he still died for you and me with my messed up, jacked up, sinful self. Funky disposition, mood swings, evil and wicked self, corrupt thoughts, as bad as I am. He still died. He still calls me friend. He calls me son. He shows me his love every day. He died for me when I was his enemy. But hallelujah, he made us friends. Amen. And amen. Even now as I struggle with sin, and I know I'll struggle for all of my life, I am so glad that he calls me friend. That he calls me son. Ladies, he calls you daughter. What a blessing to have a Savior like that who would die for us even though we hate his guts. Lord, leave me alone. Why are you bothering me? Were my words when I was in high school. He continued to convict my heart. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I'm in high school. I'm young. I'm 17 years old. I'm trying to get these chicks, man. You bothering me, man. I'm on the football team trying to be cool, man. And I know he's convicting my heart. I know he's getting in my way. And finally, I say, man, why are you bothering me? Why are you bothering me? You know what he did? It felt like he stepped back. But you know what? He got closer. And then when all of my friends were getting in trouble and some of them were going to jail, he was right there. And during this time, when I told him to leave me alone, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And I happened to look up. It was about
1, 2 in the morning, I happened to look up and I saw something shiny moving in the park. And something said, man, you better get out of here, man. And I got out of there and I saw 2 dudes with guns. I said, Lord Jesus. When I told him to leave me alone, he didn't leave me alone. Well, maybe we don't always utter that. But there have been times in life when we felt like, come on, man, just let me do my own thing. But he said, I can't. Because you're mine. You've been bought and paid for. Bought with the price. The blood of Jesus. Am I telling the truth tonight? It's Bible study. And that's our Savior. So what is God doing? He's forming a new spiritual race of people who have been elected to salvation. That's us. Who have been purchased by Christ on the cross. Who are these people? Anyone who believed that Christ died for our sins and lived for our righteousness. That's who they are. That's us. These sons and daughters don't simply come into salvation. They are brought. It is God alone who brings sinners to salvation for salvation. From beginning to end, it's all God. It's all God. The Father planned our salvation by election and appointment. I got Bible. Ephesians 1:4. Don't say, oh, you read that last week. Act like you never heard it. Ephesians 1:4 said, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That verse always gets me. That before I was in the womb of my mother, that before the earth existed, that he chose us. We had nothing to do with it. It was no good that we had done. He chose us. Way, way long ago, he had us on his mind. Man, that'll make you feel special. Little old me, God? Yeah, you. Yeah, you still my baby. I got another verse, Acts 13. Verses 47, 48, and 49. Verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Hallelujah to God. Amen. There's a lot of people on the planet, but he chose to appoint you and I for salvation. What a blessing that is. The Son purchased our salvation through his substitutionary death for our sin. 1 Peter 3 says, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ tasted death to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17 that we might be with him to see his glory. What does it mean to be brought to glory? I think it's difficult to describe on this side. And I know there are scripture, but what it actually means, I think that words can't capture what's on the other side. I think that there's some things on the other side that we can't even imagine right now. In heaven, with God in glory, there's some things. I'm just glad I'm on the way. Amen. I'm with him right now, seated in heavenly places. Already, but not yet. I think at the very least, we'll have glorified, resurrected bodies. Amen. Free from sin, sickness, death, everything else that comes with living in this fallen world will be free from that stuff. He did not taste death for random people, but all whom God has elected to salvation are all those who believe in Christ. That is a blessing tonight. It is through Christ's death that we can believe in Christ. For it was Christ who purchased our faith in his death. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, who through him believed in God. Election demands real saving faith, and saving faith demands election and the substitutionary atonement for sin by Christ. I got one more verse today, and I'm going to get out your way tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The scripture reads as follows. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. Amen. It's just something special about these words. I haven't always seen this in Scripture. That from the beginning, God chose us for salvation. When you've seen your own sins, these words become magnified. That regardless of your sin, that you've been chosen. And there are many people who simply have not been chosen. They've been chosen for destruction, but not salvation. And I feel privileged tonight and every day that God has chosen us for salvation. If you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will know that he has chosen you and that the Son has died for you. You'll know that. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, the Spirit of God will confirm it in your heart. And for me, that's why it's so important. And I thank God for my upbringing, because I learned how important it is to be a witness. The Apostle Paul said, and he said this to Timothy, but it's for all of us. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Now, I'm so thankful for my first pastor, the late Reverend Dr. Joseph Coates, who was adamant about evangelism. He was very serious about evangelism. In fact, when we had an evangelism team, and he would send us out into the communities just greeting the people in the community. And people knew about Glendale because Pastor Coach had us out in the community. And just like it was a passion for him, it became a passion for me. And I started very young. I remember there were times I was at home, and I lived in Piranha at the time. I'd be home in high school, and then I hear a knock at the door, and I see the evangelism team all down the street, knocking on the door, serving the needs of the people. And that is important. Doctrine is first and foremost. I believe that. You got to have it. But I think You can't just sit on the doctrine. It's good because I felt like now that I have been strengthened, I've been blessed by this doctrine, man, you got to tell somebody. Somebody told me. Somebody didn't leave me hanging. I remember there have been too many times where somebody shared or attempted to share the gospel with me. That drove my passion all over the country, really, the world. Because in Canada, I remember I was in Canada one year and I met somebody on the street. I was out there on business. I witnessed to a man who I'd never seen before, never met. But he was blessed that I had shared the gospel with him. Felt like it was my responsibility as a believer, and it is our responsibility. God has called us to do it. We can't say, well, you know, because some people say, well, you know, I don't talk to many people. Man, hey, I felt like that too, but I felt like I had to obey the word of God. And it's just a reminder, you know, to share the word of God, and that a reminder that also God is with us. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to share anything tonight? I enjoyed my time tonight just sharing and talking about the word of God with you all. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Go ahead, brother. Yeah. Give him the mic because he's going to do a rap.
Put me on blast. Now, I was just thinking about what you were saying, you know, about evangelism and everything like that. And I was just listening. I heard a scripture go by today on the radio talking about pastors and what their duty is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Well, Reverend Jones is doing a great job of equipping us, you know, in the word. We know the gospel, and we're very well versed in it. We're very well versed in doctrine, but you know, we have to get out there and disseminate that. As he says, as you go, gossip the gospel.
Amen.
You know, and where it doesn't matter where you are, or you know, or what area, you know, you target areas. You know, I've had instances where God has allowed me to speak to people about Christ on the bus, maybe while I was working on the street.
Amen.
Wherever you are, you know, I think God opens up those doorways of evangelism that give us an opportunity to share with someone the goodness of what Christ has done for us, and to share the gospel. So, you know, don't be afraid. He said he'll give you what to say. You know, the Lord will lead you. You know, a lot of times people won't share their faith because they afraid, or I don't think I can, you know, do it the way that the pastor does it, or the minister does it. But the little that God has given you, share that.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's thank you for saying that. I remember talking to a brother one time who lived in my building, and I didn't, for some strange reason, we started talking about weddings. I was like, what? You know, I left the conversation like, man, what are you talking about weddings for? And later on, I found out that he had been living with his girlfriend, and his parents and her parents had been pressuring both of them to get married, and they had been looking at wedding stuff. And I witnessing to him, I was sharing with him how the church is the bride of Christ. And I ended up there, and again, those were not my intentions, but it's how the Spirit of God led the conversation. I didn't know this man. Yeah, and it depends on who you're talking to. God will lead the conversation. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you, man, you can talk about sports. Sports, the Spirit of God will get you where you need to be in that conversation. Man, he'll lead you. Don't be afraid. He'll guide you. God wants us to be out there on the front line. He told us, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that right there goes over our head. Man, God said, dude, I am all up in your Kool-Aid. I got you covered tonight. And sometimes you're the initiator. Sometimes you watering a seed. Sometimes God will use you to get the increase. Truth be told, we've been all in different stages You know, I've seen the man, I've seen the woman after witnessing to them fall on the floor. I've seen that. Because somebody had been talking to them along the way, sharing with them, the Spirit convicted him, and then when you came, for lack of a better phrase, you became the straw that broke the camel's back. And they, have you ever seen a 300-pound man fall on the floor because and cry because he tired of running? He said, what am I supposed to do now? I can't lift you up. I done been there. I done had somebody bring somebody to my house and, hey, man, help, man. This guy, he so-and-so, help and talk and end up sharing the gospel with somebody. And when you turn, it's like at Publix, when your light is on, you ready to serve somebody? If you got your light on, God will bring them to you. Is your light on? Amen. His light is shining through us. And God is always, he's always working. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Amen. Also, I'd like to shout out Pastor Jones as well. Amen. He has made us solid in the Word of God. He has made us strong. And we've been working out in the Word, so all of us got big muscles. Anybody got no excuse now? When somebody come in your face, boy, you ready to fight now? You got big muscles, been built up in the Word. You know what I'm saying? We ready to go now. Amen. Let's go ahead and close out in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, it was fitting for the Son to die because you are glorified and it is in line with your eternal purpose. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, he goes before us and he leads us to salvation. Thank you, Lord. Our Savior was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Thank you for this word tonight, Lord. Thank you, God, that many sons and many daughters have been brought to glory and many more. And I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. I thank you for the unction of the Spirit. I thank you, God, for boldness that the Spirit gives. I thank you, God, that you're always present with us. We thank you, God, for this church, for Pastor and Sister Jones. Continue to watch over them and bless them, God. Strengthen and encourage him, God. We appreciate his ministry, how he helps us and encourage our hearts. We ask tonight, God, that you watch over us, keep us safe as we prepare to leave this place. Remember the sick and shut in, caregivers, those who have lost loved ones, all our brothers and sisters tonight, Father God, wherever they may be, there are many who are streaming tonight, God. Thank you for them. Watch over them as well, Father God. Meet us tonight at the point of our knees, God. All of us have a prayer request on our heart tonight. You know what we're in need of. You know what we've been praying about. Some of us have been praying for years for something or somebody. God, meet us tonight. Oh, great God and great King. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we bless your holy name. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.